today, we'll talk about my ideal Epcot day. That's coming up on this episode 99 of WDW Prep to Go. Hello and welcome to WDW Prep to Go, where we talk strategy and ideas for people planning their Disney World trips. I am your host, Shannon Albert from WDWPrepSchool.com. Thank you for being here for episode 99. We are just one episode away from the 100th episode, and I have been getting your tips. Lots of people have been calling them in. And if you would like to do that for episode 100, you've only got a couple days to do that because I have to start putting it all together. The instructions for doing that are in the show notes and on the website that has this podcast episode in it. But the basic gist is that you can record audio from the computer at the link on the SpeakPipe website, or you can install the SpeakPipe app on your phone and go through there. Either way will work. It all comes to me the same way. And so I will be putting all those tips together for next week. And I look forward to that because I learn a lot of things from you all. Now, last week, I did an episode about my ideal Magic Kingdom day. And I have mentioned before that I sometimes struggle to come up with topics because every week I try to write a blog post and I have a new podcast. And then there's also guest posts, which I generally have the list of topics available for guest posters who want to write for the site. So it's just a lot of topics to try to come up with. And I often struggle to come up with new ideas, but sometimes it's just about repackaging it in a way. Because a lot of you may have heard the information I mentioned in last week's episode before, like you had sort of mentally pieced it together on your own, but never sort of heard it in that format. And I got an email from a listener named Brandy. Hey, Brandy. She said that she was a new listener to the podcast. She had previously just been a reader. And she said that it clicked for her to hear me sort of walk through it and talk about how the day should flow or how my days flow at Magic Kingdom. And so I just really like the idea of having, you know, audio that explains it for some people that learn better in this format. And I think it's just, you know, affirmation for me that even though I have said stuff before, it's okay to say it again and sort of just put it together in a new format because you never know who's going to need it in that way in order for it to make sense. So today we're going to talk about my ideal Epcot day. And of course, I will do my ideal Hollywood Studios Animal Kingdom days. Since next week is the 100th episode and it will be full of tips, it will be probably the episode after that. I'll probably just combine both parks into one episode since they are smaller parks and often don't even take up a whole day. I'll just combine those for episode 101. Before we dive in, as always, reminder to follow me outside of the podcast. And I love to use social media, so pick your favorite platform and follow me there. One person that did that is a listener and WWE wrestler named Zack Ryder, who tweeted me to say, love the podcast, which is something, you know, that I get every so often. And I love hearing that. But I noticed his avatar was a wrestling avatar, or her profile picture. And I thought, well, that's not my normal listener. So I clicked through and realized, oh, he's got like, you know, over a million followers on Twitter. He's a WWE wrestler and also follows me on Instagram. But apparently, since I'm not into WWE, but I have since learned that he is a fan of the Disney theme park. So that's why he's a listener. So hey, Zach, love chatting with you on Twitter. And I see you on Instagram all the time too. So anyway, you pick your favorite platform and follow me there. And we can chat outside of here. As always, I will have news and a quick tip of the day, but let's go ahead and dive into today's topic. All right, so I felt like when I talked about my ideal Magic Kingdom day, that was pretty straightforward because that really stays the same for every trip, and it's something that doesn't, like, I feel like I can recommend that for everybody. Epcot is a little bit different because it is made up of kind of two parks within the park, you know, Future World and the World Showcase. And so I'll talk to you about how I do it, but the way I do it may not work for you, particularly the last part of the day. So let's just get started with the beginning of the day. I mentioned last week, and this is true for all the parks, that I like to be at the bus stop about an hour before the parks open. And if you happen to be staying in an Epcot area resort, then you are lucky. You don't have to do that because you can walk to Epcot and sleep in a little longer. But anyway, I like to always be at the bus stop an hour before the park opens. And then that usually will put you there about 30 to 40 minutes beforehand. So you arrive at the gates, and unlike Magic Kingdom, Epcot does not have an opening show. They used to have multiple opening shows in the parks, but now it's only Magic Kingdom that has it. So when you get to Epcot, there will not be a show to get your day started there. However, they often do let people in about 10 minutes early. So if you're there, if it's a 9 a.m. opening and you arrive at 8:20 or 8:30, there's a good chance you'll get to go in around 8:50 or so. So from there, I like to head to Test Track. Now, there's two headliners here, Test Track and Soarin'. Soarin', I'm not suggesting at the beginning of the day here, or at least this is my preference, because Soarin' always takes a bit of time. Even if you're there at the beginning, Soarin' just takes a while to get through. And so it's just better for me to get a Fastpass Plus for it later in the day. So I like to head to Test Track first. And after Test Track, then Sum of All Thrills is always my number two attraction. And that's because Sum of All Thrills does not have a Fastpass Plus option. It's located inside the Innoventions building near Test Track. And if you don't do it within the first hour, it will definitely build up lines and you don't have a way to skip it because it doesn't have a Fastpass Plus. But I definitely recommend doing it. So Test Track and then Sum of All Thrills is in the Innoventions building nearby, and then Mission Space is nearby as well. So these are sort of the first three that will usually take you the first hour or so. From there, I like to make my way over to the Seas, which is on the other side of Future World. And on the way, you will pass the golf ball, you know, which is Spaceship Earth, the icon of Epcot. So it might be tempting to stop at Spaceship Earth, but I would recommend walking past it. It probably will have a line. A lot of people come into Epcot and they see the, you know, big ball and they think, okay, well, we'll just do that right now. And so the line in the morning is often builds up. And I just recommend doing it later in the day with the Fastpass Plus if possible. So make your way over to the Seas. And the Seas is, you know, is a pavilion that you can spend some time exploring, particularly if you happen to be into sea life and that kind of stuff. We don't tend to be interested in it, at least our family doesn't. But the Turtle Talk with Crush is a show that's within this pavilion. This show, it never made sense to have a fast pass for this before, you know, like, until like a couple years ago. But I have been there and seen only fast pass people be allowed in, or the standby queue is so big that you end up having to wait a couple of rotations to get in. So I actually like Turtle Talk with Crush to have a fast pass plus. It's just guaranteed entry, you know, at the time that you have reserved. And I'm just surprised that I've sort of come to that conclusion. But in the last year or so, it does seem to make sense, particularly if you're going during a busier time of year, because the queue can really build up. The downside of that is that you are sort of locked into that time. Whereas if you just go to the show in the standby line, then you can kind of just arrive whenever it's convenient for you. So you'll have to decide one way or the other. But I have been there and had to wait quite a while to get into Turtle Talk, which didn't used to be the case before Fastpass Plus, but people have sort of been distributed differently now with the new system. So anyway, I do often get a Fastpass Plus just to make sure that I get into Turtle Talk without a long wait. And after being in the Seas Pavilion, then I like to make my way over to the Land, which is the building that houses Living with the Land. And so I'll often ride that first and then have a Fastpass Plus for Soarin', which is right next to it. And then at this point, it is getting to be, you know, later morning. We often have early lunches. And so you have to sort of make a decision about where you want to eat lunch. Sunshine Seasons happens to be in the Land. And it's a great quick service with lots of food options. It's a little bit hectic because there are so many stations you can order from. There's lots of people. But if you think you can manage that, I think you will like the food. Of course, the World Showcase is not too far away, and there is a lot of food options there. So you might choose to skip over there for some lunch. You could get fish and chips in the UK section or any number of places in the World Showcase. It's just like in the UK is not too far away. It's not too far into the World Showcase, so you could easily get there without too much of a walk. So after lunch, there are a few things that you might consider doing. One is, and maybe you want to do all of these things, but one of them is to complete Future World. The remaining attractions are the ones that are less busy. For instance, Figment or Ellen's Energy Adventure, where you may choose to go into the Club Cool building where you can sample the sodas. And you could use your FastPass Plus for Spaceship Earth, that sort of stuff. You might do that. And also, there's obviously the World Showcase. The thing about the World Showcase is I don't like doing it in the afternoon. It is very hot. There's very little cover. And every time I attempt it, and I do it fairly often, I end up regretting it because it's just so uncomfortable. But if you only have one day at Epcot, then you may have to do it. If you want to meet the characters or see the entertainment that's scheduled in the World Showcase, that is available in the afternoon or early evening. It's not available at night. Like I checked the schedule right before recording this to verify some times. And I think the last entertainment for the most part was around 6 something. So if you come back, you know, after dinner, you may have missed most of it. So the afternoon is you're going to have to use it if you have one day at Epcot, if you want to meet characters and see the entertainment. Just be aware that is often very hot. So make sure that as you make your way through the World Showcase, you take plenty of time to go into the countries and cool off and be in the air conditioning before moving on, because just walking outside can be kind of brutal, particularly in the hot months, and most of the months are hot. So, but for me, I would probably just do Future World and have lunch and then go take a break and then come back in the evening to do the World Showcase. Now, the evening is not enough time to do the entire World Showcase. So we often will do several evenings. And so maybe we go and do 3 or 4 countries one evening, come back another evening and do a few more. And so I sort of break it out. I know that's not realistic for everybody because that does require park hopper tickets, but I have an annual pass and you know, the people that are with me usually have an annual pass or park hopper ticket, so it's doable. But if you want to do it all together, you certainly can do that. And in the evenings, I love to have table service meals in the World Showcase. There's tons of options. It's a great place to go for dinner, which is, you know, yet another reason I love staying at an Epcot area resort, is that it's easy just to walk over for dinner. There's a lot of good ones, but I just want to point out a few table service restaurants that I love in the World Showcase. One is Beer Garden, which is in the Germany section, and it is a German buffet, so I love being able to try different German foods, and then they also have a band that performs there, so you get entertainment as well. I love Le Cellier in the Canada section. Le Cellier used to be a lot harder to get into. It was definitely on the list of like most difficult reservations to get, and it's not anymore for whatever reason. One of the reasons might be that it's 2 credits on the dining plan, so people are less likely to book it because they don't want to use 2 credits for one meal. We are usually not on the dining plan, so we just end up, you know, paying out of pocket. But I love Le Cellier. I think it's just great food, and the fact that it's not that hard to get into is nice too. Marrakesh is a good restaurant in the Morocco section, and they have lunch and dinner. So if you're paying out of pocket, the menus are very similar. Lunch is a little bit less expensive. If you're on the dining plan, either one obviously is doable. And they also have entertainment in the form of a belly dancer there. And then finally, Rose and Crown Pub in the UK section is one of my favorite experiences I've ever had at Disney World. I just think the service is great, the food is delicious, and the ambiance, I just love it all. Of course, there's lots of restaurants I haven't mentioned. We like many of them. I just wanted to mention these 4 because I sort of recall them as being 4 of our favorites. And I think I've eaten it all but one of the table service restaurants in the World Showcase. But these 4 just sort of jump to mind as being 4 of my favorites. And then, of course, Illuminations is a show at Epcot on the water there. It's at night, usually at 9 p.m. And a lot of people want to know about reserving seats and where to stand. You should know Illuminations seating isn't that difficult. And that's one of the reasons that I don't recommend using a FastPass Plus for it, because the World Showcase is huge. And so you just need to find a spot somewhere to watch it, and you don't need to camp out, you know, way ahead of time. You know, in some of the parks, you know, especially at Magic Kingdom, people will reserve a spot an hour or 2 hours ahead of time or something like that. Illuminations, you just don't need to do that. It's just huge. And of course, there are some spots that are better than others. And I have an entire post that Heather actually created on the website about fireworks and nighttime viewing spots. And so I'll just embed that in the show notes so that you can sort of pick out a location you might want to look for. But it's really not that difficult to get a pretty good view of illuminations. So anyway, that is sort of how Epcot goes for us. But of course, I like splitting it up over multiple days. And your mileage may vary for your trip. I want to talk about a couple of news items that came up this week. Disney has been just really coming up with lots of new things and keeping us on our toes. The first thing is that they decided, and I've talked about this in a previous episode, that there was rumored to be a Frozen-themed boutique coming to Hollywood Studios, and now we know for sure the details of this. It is called Ice Palace Boutique, and it's Hollywood Studios from July 26th through September 7th. September 7th is when Frozen Fun ends at Hollywood Studios this summer. It could be extended past that date. You know, if it ends up being successful, they might decide to keep it around. That's kind of what they did with the sing-along. Like Bibbidi Bobbidi Boutique, this is available for children ages 3 to 12, and reservations are now open. So if you want to do that, you should feel free. There is a package that is $175. Oh, I'm sorry, $75, not $175. It's called Frozen Summer Fun Boutique Package, and it includes Anna or Elsa makeup, face gems, nail polish, a braided hair piece, and a photo. And then to that, you can add on a couple of options for your entire group. So let's say you have one child that wants to do this boutique, but then you have a family. So for up to six people, you can add on to that where they give you access to the Ice Palace Cafe, which is a Frozen-themed eatery, and reserve seating at the sing-along. Or you can also add on a costume for the child that is getting the makeover, plus you get all the other stuff for up to six people. So I don't know if that makes any sense. This is sort of a new thing for them. They've never had an add-on for a group that I know of. But a lot of people have said, doesn't that seem a little steep? And I do think it seems a little steep. There is a FastPass Plus available for the Frozen sing-along, so you can do it that way or to standby. And I don't necessarily think that these seats are worth the price that they are charging. And then they often at Hollywood Studios throw in like cupcakes and things like that as part of the package, you know, treats, but you can get those treats on your own. So my advice would be not to feel like you have to add any of these things on, because you can do them on your own. One thing they did not mention in the main press release or information they put out was that there is an Olaf option. And I will link in the show notes to some information about that. But they didn't put that out there very much. It took some people asking questions for them to finally say, yes, there is an Olaf option available if you would like to take advantage of that. So anyway, this could stick around. They have something like it at Disneyland. They have a Frozen boutique there. And so it's kind of, you know, just the Disney World version of it, and may become a permanent thing. Secondly, there appears to be a new holiday meal coming to Hollywood and Vine at Hollywood Studios. And it has popped up randomly in the My Disney Experience app, and it's called Minnie's Holiday and Dine Dinner. And it will be a dining reservation, and there will be a Fantasmic dinner package option as well. And that's what we know for sure, because it has popped up randomly. But I've had a couple of sources tell me some details that seem credible, seem likely, but we will hopefully find out this week for sure. Here is what I've heard. I have heard that the meal will be available from November 7th to January 3rd, which is that's pretty typical for their holiday season there. And the characters at the meal will be Minnie, Mickey, Donald, and Santa Goofy. And this announcement should come this week, and then shortly after, the reservations for it should open up. And I suspect that Disney Dining Plan credits will be usable there. I don't know if it'll be one or two. We will hopefully find out that when the announcement is made. And I'll be there on November 7th. So I'm hoping to snag a reservation maybe and try it out for my own trip. And we'll see how it goes. So those are the two main news items this week. And if you have any questions, you could always email for more information. Finally, the quick tip of the day. My quick tip is, if you have a meal that requires prepayment, and that includes Cinderella's Royal Table and the three dinner shows, such as Hoop-Dee-Doo Review, Mickey's Backyard Barbecue, and the Luau at the Polynesian, my tip is to book those online and not through the app, because if you go through the app, it'll say that you have to call, but if you do it online, it will allow you to do it online. And that the reason is probably because you have to prepay. And so they have an easier time processing your payment on the website than through the app. That is my guess. So if you are online at 6 a.m. Eastern time and wanting to book Cinderella's Royal Table because it's a competitive one, you might find yourself frustrated that you can't through the app. And you know, if you call an hour later, then maybe the time that you were going for was already snagged by somebody who is using the website. So my tip is really always to use the website because it's much more convenient than the app. But this particular thing is a difference that would, one of many differences that should convince you to use it when you're initially making your reservations. I think that's going to wrap up this episode of WW Prep to Go. For more information on the show, you can look in the podcast app for the show notes, or you can visit wdwprepschool.com/episode99. That is the number 99. Until next time, I'll see you on the site.